Thank you for listening to Cat's Tea and Witchcraft. My name is Fauna, and I am your host. This podcast is for those who are Wiccan, witches, and everything in between. Don't forget to follow the podcast's Instagram page at Cat's Tea and Witchcraft, and you can send an email at catsteaandwitchcraftpodcast@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening to the podcast. Enjoy the episode. Hello, witchy peeps. Welcome back to the podcast. This is episode 132. Today's episode is another interview episode, and this week is a return guest. For those who may have not caught up on all the old episodes, for the new listeners, this guest in the past has talked to us about their experience working as a medium and a bit of their spiritual journey. Today, we're going to get an update from them and talk about tarot, which is perfect for their season since we're going over it, and just an update on how their life has been going and a good conversation about how our paths change, our needs and spiritual needs change as well. So here we go. Okay, everyone, like I said, we have another repeat guest. They were on the podcast, I think about 2 years ago. Is that right?
2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, 2 or 3 years ago. This is Bobby, or also known as Three-Eyed Bob. So I'm just going to go ahead and turn it over to him to reintroduce himself for those who are newer listeners.
Yeah, thank you, Fauna, for having me. My name is Bobby, and it's been a while since I've been here, so I'm glad to be back. I came on my first appearance to talk about my journey with mediumship. Mm-hmm. And since then, I have kind of taken a detour away from those practices, and I am currently focused on tarot cards and doing tarot readings in a very fun channel. Mm-hmm. So lots have changed about my practice and my approach to certain spiritual concepts, etc. So I'm excited to be back and kind of talk about where that exploration has taken me.
Yeah. So let's dive a little bit more into what you first said about your experience with mediumship and everything. So give a little bit of background on what you were doing.
Absolutely. But yep. Back then, I'd really just gotten introduced to mediumship. I had my own experiences during a time, a tumultuous time in the world. Starting exploring mediumship as someone who, you know, goes to receive readings just before the pandemic, and then experiencing some loss in my own family, mm-hmm. Exploring mediumship really through the lens of meditation. I had found myself in a place where I was studying mediumship. I had a mentor. I was meditating regularly in a way where I would connect what we would consider spirit and receive messages, speak to those who have passed over in some form or the other, connecting with spirit guides, those concept ideas about angels, concepts adjacent to shamanism and journeying, all these things culminated in a practice where I was connecting to spirit through meditation. And that brought me to Three-Eyed Bob, where I began doing that for other people.
With that journey that you went through, and since then adjusting that journey, what made you transition out of it? And just how did that feel? Or, yeah, just something along those lines. Because I know that could be a very interesting journey on its own when you're going through another growth or awakening of some sort.
What I will say is that I had a lot of incredible experiences through my mediumship practice, especially related to myself. Things that I discovered about myself through spiritual meditation alongside a mentor and also alongside other practitioners. joining meditation circles, etc. And then doing readings for people, you know, I found myself in a space where I was at festivals doing readings for strangers who signed up at my table and having exchanges with them that are hard to explain without tapping into, you know, an unknown sense of something beyond, you know, that's the most generic way I can put it. But going through some of those experiences, a skeptic myself, you know, what is this? How is this working? And there's so much out there in terms of religion and spiritual practices and theologies, cultural histories, mythologies. Like, there's so much out there from the, you know, the human psyche that, or I guess like the collective human psyche has produced to explain these things. And I was in a position, I think, where perhaps I was still operating from the human ego and latching onto some of those theories with conviction, like, this must be true. And then coming across people who felt very much the same about their own convictions, which I would perceive to be far-fetched, or some sort of judgment would come into play on my end. And it would just poke holes in my ability to operate around this thing, this connection to spirit, which I have learned to be, to operate like outside of any parameters of our understanding. It's like not meant to be understood. But I just came across so much desire for the understanding of it. And it struggled, and that's where I started to struggle. Even with people who were receiving readings from me, not from a position of just open curiosity, of connecting with perhaps loved ones where they want to just have that sense of understanding that there's something beyond our concept of life. You know, that there's those people who just have that open curiosity to want to receive insight to where they're at in their particular journey. And those are the people I, you know, I love to connect with, but I would always come across that desire to know. And I struggled with that. And I got to a point where I thought, maybe I'm not at a place in my personal development to be able to handle this type of interaction. Because because a lot of it is very serious subject matter. You know, when we're talking about people's deceased loved ones and people's desires of their own life and their own regrets and their expectations. And it was a lot, you know, especially from a performance perspective, because there is a bit of it that is performative. So I needed to step away during a time of my life where a lot was changing and I needed to breathe and really understand before moving forward.
As we've talked since we know each other, I think that was probably a good move in general, because just from conversations that we've had and other people that I've heard about things or read about topics or similar things, that it can be a lot when you find yourself in a similar position, or if you're just learning it, or if you just have changes in your life, it could be quite an adventure that's not necessarily a smooth path. And I think you having that experience to test it out was really good, but it gave you that insight, would you say, to know that, okay, I'm still learning, I'm still growing, but at least you were able to dip your toes into it a little bit?
Yes. And I mean, two, I do feel like it will come back. You know, I don't think...
Yeah, you can always take breaks from things.
Absolutely right. You can close a book and put it on the bookshelf and always return to it. and read that book at a different time of your life and have a completely different experience. And it makes more sense experience. Then, too. Exactly. It might make more sense. It might make different sense.
Yeah, in general, how would you say for people who are maybe in a position where they feel like they have some connection to the spirit or feel like they are going down a path of mediumship or still learning, but maybe they're not quite ready yet or they're experiencing things and it might be overwhelming. What words of advice would you give for them on just a general sense? Because everyone's situation is a little different to like, besides that, it's okay. Would you have any insight on that?
So I guess what I would tell people that are feeling that they have a connection that they're exploring, especially if they're exploring it under someone's guidance, really focus on your connection as a personal journey and really foster your personal understanding of whatever your connection may be. Do it for a while.
Yeah.
Before you really consider doing it for other people at high volume.
Yeah, going like head deep into it.
Right. It can be very exciting. And I think that's what happened with me. I got very excited, and especially when you are someone who is sensitive with a connection like that, you tend to look for validation in others. And if you are performing your connection in ways that is getting a lot of praise from other people, it can really excite you to want to, you know, do it for everyone and feel like
it feels good.
Yeah, it feels
great. We all want, even if we don't want to like admit it, we all like a little bit of attention, or we like the feeling of making, if it's not attention, it's connection. It's just a different type of connection with people.
That it's, yes, it's intoxicating in a way, connecting to someone, especially when you're connecting to someone when you consider spiritual practice, you know, even literally, you know, when I say I was, my practice of mediumship was really through deep meditation. And you think of meditation and monks who meditate and, you know, they live sober lives and they're just breathing. They're just like sustaining themselves on air. Because, yes, there's a spiritual component, but the literal physical component of it is like I am getting high on oxygen.
Yeah.
You know, like the when you do breath work, you are altering your, you're just altering your state of existence. You're altering your, what's it, you're altering your nervous system. You're just doing nervous system regulation.
Yeah.
And it can bring you to a place of real bliss and peace. And then when you're connecting with someone on top of that and you're getting into their emotions and you're feeling their emotions, you're relating to their experience, you're providing support for them. It's magical, right?
Yeah, literally.
And to that end, you know, that being said, it's also exhausting. Exhausting physically, it's exhausting mentally, emotionally, especially emotionally. So if you are considering exploring your connection, I, like I said, just really focus on what it means for you. And I think, at least I said I did a really good job of that. But in retrospect, I think I could have gone a little further.
And that could take years to decades of perfecting that process. And even anything in our lives can completely shift it. Like 1 week you may be good, but then 2-3 weeks later and you're in a completely different place.
Right. And also with, yeah, like you said, along with that time and age experience, you know, you get wisdom from all those things. And the people I was, you know, the people who were mentoring me, they were all my senior, you know, they were all older than me, and they were all in places of their lives where they had full careers that they had left. You know, they had marriages and divorces. You know, they may have had the personal experience to have developed the wherewithal to connect with people regularly, where perhaps where I am in my own personal development, you know, I need more time to cook.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's not just about the, I'm really good at meditating and connecting to people. It's also about, can I really maintain myself?
Yes.
And that's where I'm at now, really working on the, wow, I need to, I am doing a lot to self-manage.
Yeah, and that's really important. And I feel like that, do you think you got to a burnout position or you felt it come and you're like, okay, I need to kind of like switch things up and kind of work, do a little bit more work before I start taking this back to the public kind of thing?
Yeah, I guess at first it was burnout. I didn't consider that until you said that word, but when you said that word, it resonated. Yeah. So yeah, definitely burnout, because at that time too, I had really flipped the switch. I was like, let me flip the table, I suppose, on myself.
Yeah.
That was a time where I walked away from my full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
I decided that it was time for me to move geographically. I left the area I was living in and I moved back to my place of origin. And I knew with that move, a lot would come up. So that's when I really said, let me just kind of informally shut down my practice and focus on moving and all of the changes that are going to come with working and family and social dynamics and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. And it was good. And it was a wise decision.
I think so too, knowing you and your journey a bit. And for those who may feel similar, not if you feel like you're a medium or not, or just anything in your spiritual practice, it's always going to be there. Or even if you haven't gotten into it yet and you're not in a position to really like dive into it, if it's because of a safety reason between where you're living and your home, or it's because it's an amount of time, I think knowing that your journey will be there, even if you take a break from it, because there are other things in life that you can't ignore that will definitely need to take the forefront.
Yeah. And I know now that I'm thinking of it, which I, again, it's kind of testament to how long I haven't thought of it, but I know people may question like, well, how do you do that? You know, if you're a real medium and you're connected, like, wouldn't you? You know, I know people who experience spirit differently. You know, some people are like, I see people all the time, you know, that's totally valid, but I'm someone who experienced it differently, right? Like I experienced it only through meditation with intention. When I put it down, I put it down, you know, but to your point, there's always opportunity to recognize how spirit shows up. And that's what I really appreciate about my journey. I know at some, you might ask me, I might be jumping around, but at some point I reintroduced tarot. It was actually, I think, a New Year's Eve party. Someone really wanted me to read their cards, and I was like, sure, why not? Let's do it. I just read three cards for them. They loved it. And then, you know, everyone wanted that for New Year's Eve. So I ended up doing it, and it was really fun. And that's when I recognized there's still ways to tap into and entertain my connection in ways that feel light and fun, but still purposeful.
And maintainable too.
Sustainable, yes.
Yes, sustainable, yeah. Because there's a tool now that's not just your own body, your own energy. You can still use those things. But for those who are or are not mediums, cards are tools, and they're great tools.
Exactly. And that's what I love about presenting them as well, is they're just cards, you know. It's one thing for me to claim, like, oh, I'm talking to your dead grandma right now. It's another thing for me to say, oh, this is the magician card, and that's typically related to power, creativity, your ability to put into action, you know, what you desire. So it's easier for people to kind of tether themselves to that physical mm-hmm. tool and mm-hmm. know that, oh, that's just a card. And, you know, the card typically represents these things. Now, depending on what I say about the card to that specific person mm-hmm. sounds different every time. And to me, that's when that spiritual aspect is coming to play.
Yeah. You know? I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right. Like the context of the card, like the aspect of the card that I seem to be focusing on, you know, versus a different meaning. Those are the parts where it's like, okay, well, something beyond me is making me choose to present this information the way it's coming up.
I don't consider myself a medium, nor do I feel like I've had a mediumship kind of experiences before, but sometimes I've gone through cards or different decks have different kind of symbolism, and I'll go, okay, well, this is what it's supposed to mean. But I'm like, but it seems a little different this time. Like, and it depends on the deck. Maybe the reason you chose a specific deck and specific artwork, or if maybe you're paying attention to a different detail. And that's kind of cool because, like, I feel like as when doing readings, that makes it more fun because it's not just, okay, this is what this card means. What's going on in your life? How does it connect? It, like, goes into a little bit more of a beyond situation. And it sometimes can give you those little goosebumps that you're looking for because you're like, oh, this is new. This is spicy. This is more than the usual.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, that makes me consider the point of reading things intuitively. Mm-hmm. There's just so much possibility to it all. You know, people, and I've hopped on some of the bandwagon. Like, I saw people on TikTok, you know, some of it is a joke, but it's also true that they can, you know, do readings using Pokemon cards.
Oh, yeah, a normal deck of playing cards.
A normal deck of playing cards. Well, and that comes from my grandmother used to read our cards using playing cards. Mm-hmm. So I was always familiar with that. Right. But now, you know, like I'll read Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
That's
to people.
I think I've seen a couple of your posts for those nights.
Yeah. So I do host tarot nights semi-occasionally. There's really no regular schedule, but I do host tarot nights to give readings locally. It's very fun. And to your point, I offer a variety of decks, you know, in case people see something that piques their interest, you know, anything from the classic deck to I have a raccoon deck. I have.
Oh, you need to send me pictures of that. That sounds cute.
Definitely. Yes. I've got a raccoon deck, like an Alice in Wonderland deck, a Sailor Moon deck, you know, a bunch of different things. And it is always fun to see the artwork that comes up, see people resonate with their favorite characters that come up in their spread. And those are the things you can't explain.
Yeah. Because the symbolism might connect with them in a different way, or say maybe it is someone reaching out to them through the cards and it is a mediumship moment. If there's a certain symbol or person or thing that resonates with a particular person in their family. So for example, I have They're kind of the same style. They've been kind of popping up the last year or two. There's like a Lord of the Rings deck that I have and the Labyrinth. And it looks like it's like not screen printed, but like block printed. So like if someone resonated with that deck, but then a certain character to them represented their grandfather or their mother or a friend because of XYZ reason, or even just a memory in regards to connecting to the visuals of the movies and the books, I feel like that could be the reason. It's like, oh, let's try this deck, and that could make such a more meaningful or a different impression on the information that they're receiving.
Yes. And I would love to see what deck that is because...
Yeah, I'll send you a picture of those. I haven't gotten to use them too much. I always tend to stick with the traditional Smith Rider-Waite one. And there's this fairy one I got a year or two ago, and that has been my other favorite. And that is a deck where I had one of those moments where I'm like, well, this is what this means, but I'm also getting a different feeling about this as well. And it's just a beautiful deck, so I'll send you a picture of that. And for those who are listening, I'll try to post these as well, because we're describing these decks of cards, and you're like, I want to see. With you doing some of these, like, nights, you sometimes use different cards and everything. What are some fun things that have come from changing up, going from doing more of a, probably not the right word, typical mediumship kind of situation, because you would do it through meditation when I had mine with you and everything too, and from what I've seen. And this reading can be, readings at like a, was it like bars or something, can be kind of public. Mm-hmm. How was that a shift for you when making a connection, or has it not been too big of a deal because you have that in between with like cards?
Yeah. So I guess just to establish something for comparison, just when I used to do spiritual mediumship, to your point, Fauna, I would meditate before the reading. So my reading might be like an hour long session. I meditate by myself before meeting, and most of that meditation was like just a channeled message, like a dream that I had for them. And then we would get into loved ones, and then after our loved ones portion, I would do three cards. To your point, it was a very long process. At festivals, it was a challenge. I mean, the festivals, it was, I think, 30-minute sessions. You would sit down with me, and I would meditate right in the moment and mostly focus on evidential mediumship, where I am, you know, finding information about someone who you may be related to, and then we connect on that information and confirm, you know, I'm with someone, and then I channel whatever messages they have. So that part is really surreal, you know, again, to that earlier point I made about feeling high from breath work and that spiritual connection where sometimes you feel like whoever is sitting with you, whoever they're connecting with, like you feel like you're at sometimes full of that being, that person, really overwhelming, you know. Me just crying, just sitting, crying because I'm connecting to that emotion or that energy in a crowded room, you know, that was intense. Tarot readings is a huge shift. It's much more manageable for me, especially in a live setting. You know, I can go to the cafe, it can be crowded, there can be a bunch of people playing board games around, and maybe perhaps because I've told myself I'm relying on the cards, like I'm really leaning on the cards. The cards are doing the heavy work. I'm just talking, you know. To that point, it's fun because, you know, I'm not in that human ego where I am afraid that I'm going to screw up. You know, I'm not afraid that, oh, what if I don't connect to anyone they know? You know, what if I just fail this interpretation of whatever their loved one is saying or whatever. This is just, hey, I'm going to pull cards and I know what cards mean and I'm going to talk about them. It's like a lot of the pressure is done away with or something.
But yeah, I think the steps that you've taken to make changes is a good example of that it's okay to change how you're doing things, and it's okay to take a break. It's an okay reason to question things if you ever get to that point of questioning it. Not everyone's going to be at 100% all the time or understand what's going on all the time. And I've even, in the past year and a half, for about 9 months of last year, I was doing this awful shift for work. And it just zapped all the energy out of me. So there was a good chunk of last year. I only had one episode per month, not because I didn't want to, but because other things got into the way. And then I wasn't able to put what I thought was an appropriate amount of energy into the podcast in other studies because I didn't want to provide bad quality. So when I did have the energy for it, it might have only been for a couple hours a month because just life is life. And I now, because I was gave myself that time and didn't overdo it and was prepared for that to happen because I knew that I was going to work like super early mornings until in getting off at like a random time in the day and then having to sleep and not feeling like I existed for almost 9 months because I was literally like opposite time. I was such a night owl and only slept like 4 hours a night. And I think it's important to understand where our limitations are, even if it's just temporary.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it can completely ruin our experiences long term if you don't kind of catch it.
Right. You don't want to do something until you foster resentment. Mm-hmm. And you also want to, it's okay to have boundaries with the things that you like.
Yeah, even boundaries with yourself is important too.
Exactly. Yes. I think to your point, part of my stepping away from mediumship was like, well, if I can't do this consistently, then I shouldn't do it at all, right? But that extreme isn't it's necessary.
Yeah.
It's like with the, even with tarot, you know, it's like I took a big break for the whole holiday season and mm-hmm. I went about 2 months without doing any type of tarot night and that's totally fine. You know, I can do a tarot night whenever I want. I can do one tomorrow and then wait 3 years until I do the next one, especially when you're doing something because you just find it fun. And that's the relationship that I'm really enjoying with my practice now is that it's just about fun when I want to do it. It's not about proving anything to anyone. It's not about money. It's not about, I don't know. It's just about, I like to read cards and people like to receive readings and it can be fun.
I think that's a great move for anyone that may be in similar situations or just wondering what it would be like in those situations. Because sometimes people question that. Like, I know if I were in a similar situation to you when you were first doing mediumship, I would be questioning myself. Am I really a medium or am I, what if I mess up? That there's always those fears and then putting too much pressure and going too far too quickly or too hard for too long, it burns you out and don't want to get into a burnout, but everyone gets burnt out and sometimes you just need a little break and you're like, okay, let me jump right back in. I do that with my crafting and stuff. I'll go through like months of doing one particular thing and then I'm like, I'm bored with this. And then I'll do nothing for a couple months. And then I'll pick something up and do that for a couple months. So like we all have these phases and or waves or these different flows of things we can and should or would want to pay attention to. And having, and as someone who has issues with sometimes accepting that I don't always have control over things, may or may not be the Virgo in me, but being able to ride those waves, I feel like when you can get to the point where you can let go a little bit is very important to our emotional, physical, and spiritual development. And because somehow they are all tied together one way or another, if mm-hmm. people like to accept it or not, or what you like to call it. Some people might not call certain things spiritual. They might just call it psychology, whatever you want to call it, depending on what the topic is.
Yeah, it's funny. My full-time job, I am in mm-hmm. corporate learning and development. So mm-hmm. I do a lot of work with professional skills training in a corporate environment. And I work with managers, I work with interns. And one of the things that we do discuss even in our lessons about self-awareness, you know, mm-hmm. From a working perspective.
Yeah.
We talk about the four aspects of awareness, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. Mm-hmm. You know, I this is me in corporate America saying, hey, spiritual awareness is integral to all of our experience. Mm-hmm. And spiritual doesn't even need to, when I say spiritual, I'm not even thinking of, I mean, it could be religion. It could be,
yeah.
It could be ritualistic or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But at its core, it's just what keeps your fire burning. You know, it's your passion for life. It's what fills
nature
your tank,
or something.
Right? What fills your tank in the face of adversity. And that's something I pull from tarot.
Mm-hmm.
I pull from the four elements. You know, I'm equating, when I talk about physical awareness, I'm equating that to the coins or the pentacles, you know, the earth element. When I'm talking about spiritual awareness, I'm thinking of the cups, the water element. When I'm considering mental awareness, I'm thinking of swords, the air element. So when I get to spiritual, I'm thinking fire, wands, you know, this is, all of these elements are present in everyone's experience, whether they consider it or not. But when you do consider it, it can bring, it can really bring like richness to your life.
Yeah. What makes you feel human?
What makes you feel human, right? What makes you feel alive? That's spiritual awareness.
You could be atheist or not have a particular religious belief and still have a quote or not quote spiritual experience and it not be a religious experience. Because just, or just depending on how you perceive the world, you can still have one of those moments where you gasp and you're like, wow, that just completely moved me.
The magic of mystery is really what it is.
I think having those moments every once in a while are nice. If you understand it or not, if you like feeling a little mystery is cool. And then also feeling that connection to others or other things is something I think people should at least consider, even if you like you don't believe it. But and that also comes down to just like being open to understanding other people, but also understanding yourself. And not a lot of people give them the opportunity to truly, truly understand themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah. I mean, because it does require an aspect of questioning your beliefs, right? Mm-hmm. Questioning the things that you've been taught to believe, whether it's about the world or yourself. I think that might be one of the things I love about my continued tarot practice, being able to connect with people on that front is introducing them just different perspectives on the thing they're looking at. And it is interesting. You do receive plenty of people who they get that aha moment when you present that perspective, and you get some people who just shut it out.
Yeah.
And those are the difficult readings when the person is just like, that's not what I want to hear and I'm not going to hear it. And then you say, okay, well, cheers.
Too bad, so sad. One, too bad they didn't realize going in that's not what tarot does. Tarot is your very blunt great aunt that will tell you or lay down the law.
Yeah, I mean, and that, so, and the same thing with mediumship, you know, mediumship. All of these practices, they are really creative forms. They're creative expressions because you need to tap into your creative freedom in order to deliver messages, whether it's through cards or through meditation or dead people, etc. And that being said, like people are going to express that creativity differently. You know, people... Mm-hmm. There are many mediums who practice incredibly differently. And the same goes for tarot readers, right? People read cards differently. They have different relationships with the tarot. So when I do my readings, I always do a preamble at the beginning to really level set what to expect. You know, I'm like, hey, my practice is not predictive, right? Like I don't claim to do predictions. Mm-hmm. I don't claim to expose any of your darkness or your demons, what have you. But what I do offer is, or what I believe the tarot offers is this tool for reflection that can provide you insight, perspective, validation, perhaps more questions about a particular thing that you're experiencing in life at this time. Treat, and then I tell people, you know, think of a question you would like to pose the cards. And this question mm-hmm. would be like something you're talking to a really good friend about.
Yeah.
You know, think of like the oldest friend you have in life. You're going to them with something that's weighing on you. That's what you want to ask the cards. And I wish I kept a tally of how many people say after, you know, we talk about a certain card and they say, well, the cards don't lie.
Do you have anybody that gives you, that you give that spiel to? They're like, oh, just as an example, I was hoping to know if like my boyfriend is cheating on me. Or, oh, I was hoping to like get an answer on like something very trivial.
Those questions are tough, and it depends. Some people will bring it up. You know, they're yeah. like, wait, what? They really want to investigate the question that they're about to think to themselves. Because I also recommend, I'm like, do not tell me the question. You know, keep it to yourself, and we'll talk about it after I pull some cards. So the people that like, they really want to get their question right before we go on that journey, they might, you know, say, well, I was thinking this type of thing, and I'll kind of coach them. We're like, well, and I might offer suggestions. I'm like, if you can't think of anything, just think of, you know, what should I consider at this point of my life? You know, yeah. Keep it really generic.
Mm-hmm. Things just for them, at least questions for themselves, right?
Yeah, exactly. Questions about where they're at in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people won't. They may go through the whole reading and then at the end tell me that their question was something very specific that would mm-hmm. not have been answered
mm-hmm.
in a yes or no fashion, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, those are the difficult times where it's like, well, hopefully you got something from this, you know, hopefully.
Yeah. Might not make sense now, maybe.
Exactly, but hopefully it'll make sense at some point, but oftentimes people get what they need.
That's good.
I'll say that.
Yeah, that's good. There's always difficult things. I've had those experiences with when doing Reiki with friends in the past. I'm level 2, and there was one situation where one friend, she's like, I didn't feel anything at all. I'm like, okay. Like, that's fine. It was like one of the few times where there really wasn't, or some of the other ones, it's not what I expected or what they expected, which was more the cool ones where the how they felt was very different. Like one person said they felt like they had water cleansing their face or like rushing down their face. I'm like, that's a new one. That's not something I've had happen or heard of. And then another one was like, no, I didn't know if she was telling the truth or if she truly just didn't get the experience intended, or if she was even honestly open to it and she just wanted to make a point that she didn't believe in it and that nothing would happen. Mm-hmm. And there are people like that.
Yep.
So there's always going to be those duller moments.
Yep. And we don't hold them against ourselves. You know, it's usually not an us thing.
Yeah. A little bit more rare because it's not your fault at that point.
Exactly. Yep. You did what you can. And that's okay. And those are usually few and far between.
Yeah. Do you have generally good response to your community or people who may come into those situations with where you're at and everything? Or have you had a pretty safe environment to do these fun reading nights?
Yes, I'm very fortunate. I feel very safe and supported, mm-hmm. Welcomed by many. I've had many friends and family show up to my tarot nights to receive readings. I've had friends bring friends. I've had strangers who I've never met. I've had people who practiced tarot previously and wanted mm-hmm. to see what I was about.
Yeah.
And those were moments I was really appreciative of.
Yeah.
To get some validation from veterans. So it has been a lot of fun. I do find myself often reading for people who are new to it more so yeah. than people who have had readings before. One of, you know, the first questions I ask when they sit with me is, have you had a reading done before? So I can gauge how much I need to talk about what I'm doing. And many people say no. So it is fun. I do consider my style of reading to be very welcoming to people who are new to tarot, because I am really focused on just the enrooting the cards in their lived experience. So people tend to connect with my interpretation of the cards.
Yeah.
And I think they feel safe because I'm not making any claims about their reality or their future.
Yeah.
I'm just mentioning, you know, these cards indicate these themes. And as I'm talking, they're like, wow, that really resonated. That made me think of this and this and that that's going on.
That self-reflection. So,
exactly. And that's where I feel like my 10-minute tarot sessions are really just giving people an opportunity to exercise their own ability to reflect and develop awareness of the choices that are best for them.
And I feel like that's important. Sometimes I would wonder how many people who get random readings with you or other people, how much it may actually help them. You just happen to show up on a night where there's a reader. You got a 10-minute, 20-minute, 30-minute reading, and then something that you never thought of before, something you might have been questioning, and you just happen to walk by, and how much it's improved people's lives just to have that little bit of insight from the random stranger you may never see again.
Yeah, I love to think of that. I haven't thought of that. But that is the beauty of it all. And I think to bring it full circle to the mediumship thing, I think that was one of my goals when I embarked on that, because I was just so charged by my own personal experience of what I discovered through the art of intentional meditation, the art of conscious like reflection, that I wanted, you know, I wanted everyone to do it, you know, but where I got lost a little bit was that, you know, I explained earlier of trying to prove things, et cetera. But now I'm back in that zone of just, my message has always been the same. It's not about trying to find answers from this spiritual connection, whether it was when I was delivering messages from people's loved ones or whether now it's me delivering messages using cards. It's not about you getting the answer from these sources. It's about you getting validation from these sources that you are capable of looking at your own life circumstances and making the decisions that are going to influence your future the way that you want it to. And that's where it gets, you know, spiritual.
Yeah.
You know, people talk about manifestation, all of that. And I think it's just as simple as be honest with yourself, be realistic of your expectations, and be really intentional with your actions, and know that everything is an experiment. And if you're not making a little bit of a mess, you're not living.
That's for sure. I just feel like your journey is just such a good example, and you've grown so much in your spirituality, and it's just great to see as someone who knows you go through that, but then also like see that you are growing as yourself, but helping people along the way and providing a safe space for them. Because it could be scary to get readings from people. It can be really intimidating. And you, from my experiences, knowing you, being around you, and how you're explaining how you do your readings with other people as well, you do feel very inviting between just your voice. You can't help that. It's your voice. But also how you present your energy is very welcoming. And that is such an important experience, and I thank you for allowing the people who find you one way or another to get that experience and get to feel the love and insight of Bobby from Three Eye Bob.
Thank you. That means a lot to me. I appreciate it.
But before we go, are there any last minute things? It could be on the topic or not on the topic, or even just like something you're doing that you're enjoying in life or watching or reading or whatever. Just something that you just would like to drop there, and then also tell people how they could reach you or find your social media.
Yeah, so I'm only at this time for tarot, I'm really focusing only on live events, parties, festivals, etc. If you are in the New York, upstate New York area, you can connect with me via my website, 3eyedbob.com, or my handle on Instagram is 3eyedbob. I do a local tarot night in Troy, New York, if anyone is in this area. And like I said, at this time, I'm not doing any private one-on-one readings. But if you are interested in having me do a party or a large event, please feel free to contact me. Other than that, I'm really just living life. I am working my full-time gig. I've done a lot to explore my local community. You know, I've joined my local Pride Sports League where I play kickball and dodgeball.
Fun.
Yes, I've joined my local gay men's chorus where I get to connect in a community project type activity. So I just recommend everyone find community activities local to them where they can connect to the people that share their local spaces. Because as we're talking about mediumship and tarot and spirituality, this human life is really all about connecting. So go out, go outside of yourself, connect with people, connect with me, and stay in touch.
Yeah. It's important to have connections, even if you might not necessarily always want them. Just having a little bit of human connection is, I feel like, natural. So, but yeah, people, we're people-y people. We're social creatures. We're supposed to be around others and everything. That's how we also survive as a species, one way or another. But thank you again, Bobby, for coming on. I appreciate it. And for all of my listeners, I hope you enjoy this episode. And like I say every week, I appreciate every single one of you. Have a great one. Blessed be.